Hi guys, it's Friday, November 5th. Welcome to another episode of We Are Curious. Today, we are joined by members from our sister company, MediaPal. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Rollins.
Hi, I'm Enoch Aguera. I'm the romantic one.
Yes, ignore what he said. They'll be joining us for the podcast today. And as usual, I am your host, Ali Mwakaneno Gakweli. And this podcast is co-hosted by
Felix Ucheng, the Chief Financial Analyst at Hisa Technologies.
And the one and only host of Markets Monday. In case you're a markets enthusiast, you like numbers, you like what's happening on the NSE, you want to put your money in global markets, definitely tune in on a Monday podcast live at 9:45 and available at any time you want to listen via the Hisa app or via Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, or wherever you get our podcasts. Welcome to the show. So just to start us off, how has your week been? What has been that one thing in Kenya or globally that caught your mind this week?
I think for myself, it's been the fall in markets. I invested in a few coins, especially Doge's competitor. And being a hodler, I noticed that the numbers have been negative for most of the coins. So that's really something that I've noticed for the week.
I think you're not the only one who got burnt in this round table. Felix, also another loser in the markets this week.
I'm not a loser, I'm a trader.
Right.
And the one thing we talk about when we're trading is we know that some we win, some we lose. This week has been a very volatile bit for markets. For altcoins, what we call shitcoins, it's really been an interesting week, I know. We've had coins come from the all-time highs. Guys who invested in coins like Shiba Inu, for instance. Guys who jumped into the Meta wave that came in last week after Facebook rebranded to Meta, you know. It's been a little bit of a challenge here and there. And I agree that for me as well, I took a hit on some of these stocks. But one of the things about trading is you're able to manage your losses. If you can't manage your losses, then that becomes a challenge. So, yeah. It's really been a mixed week, but for me on markets, I know it's been a little bit of an interesting week. The NSE has been having a bloodbath. I know we're going to talk about that in a few, but we've also seen global markets really have a bit of a positive impact, mostly after the Fed released a statement on Wednesday saying that they had actually, you know, come into terms, and Fed was actually saying they're beginning to reduce their tapering as from the beginning to introduce tapering from November 2021. So, yeah, it's pretty much going to be an interesting day.
Yeah, how about you, Enoch?
A lot of things.
It's been interesting. Most of them have been tech related, so this is all business. So I'm like, maybe.
Just say, actually, when we're curious.
Welcome.
Things,
it's about
it's
your
always,
week.
It's always an open bit. So
yeah, so I just saw recently, because I'm working on a dating app, recently I just saw like Eric Omondi also is doing the same. So there's a dating app he released that's called Tujuane.
Right.
Yeah, so that, I got surprised. I didn't know nowadays, like, dating apps, they're the thing, like, they're the in thing. People prefer dating apps.
You'd be surprised the amount of money we have in the dating app business.
Really?
You've seen what Tinder is doing with Halloween. It's, like, the dating app business is crazy.
It's booming.
let me recommend a podcast for you, which Felix probably listens to. Go look for Business Wars on Spotify, then go look for Dating Wars, just to get how much money there is in dating and how much the swipe and the hookup and the relationship bubble is big, and there's just a lot of money.
It's a great opportunity.
Your single people would pay
for anything.
Anyway, you know what?
Are we trying to blame single people on, or are we
the
trying to credit them in this bit? Is it an opportunity?
We are trying to monetize their singleness.
We're trying to monetize them
being single.
Wait, hold on. Do we have a dating app coming up from your side?
Yes. It is. There is.
And
soon
what's
enough.
The name of your app?
Joanna from MediaPal, launching early next year.
Right, since they haven't paid us for this podcast, they're gonna have to. to launch. That's when we'll get to hear from them. What really caught my attention from the week has been in the automotive business. First of all, The cost of secondhand cars in Kenya has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Like, yo, just to buy a secondhand car, you now spend at least 33 to 35%
more. Yeah.
But that's mostly been because we've had production cuts globally. Is it because of the chip issue, Felix?
Yeah, there's the chip issue.
So like Harrier, the favorite cars for the people of Ruaka, we know them, Fielders, Toyota RAV4, Premiers, X-Trails have been, they've had mass increases.
How about Vitz?
We're not gonna talk about toy cars in this show.
Toy cars, wow.
This is coming from a person who doesn't own a car.
I honestly felt that, guys. I honestly felt that. And sorry, if you own a Vitz, don't worry.
We love you.
Somebody told me like a Vitz has one wiper.
You're getting personal.
This is war. This is absolute war.
Yeah. Anyway, so the prices of these cars have risen by up to 600k. That's a lot of money for a second-hand Toyota Premio. So that really, really caught my attention. And I think from a global standpoint, what really caught my eye is Squid Game, specifically the Squid Game scam. If you're a fan of cryptocurrency, this definitely came up your radar, and we're gonna talk about how much your guys decided to, you know, take your Netflix sensations too far, and you people are making money off of you. But yeah, that's me. Locally, your Safaricom and Airtel, and what's happening in the Senate.
The war is on.
You know, I like how Safaricom responded. Safaricom, in summary, let me just tell you what Safaricom told Airtel or told the Senate committee. We were because we put money.
Huh.
Which was the highest level of corporate shed.
Yeah. truly speaking.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Safaricom
like,
power.
You know what? You get, we put a capital expenditure of 34 billion annually. And the unspoken question was like, how much do you guys put? But then we won't touch that. And hopefully we get to talk about it in the podcast. As usual, this podcast is brought to you by Hisa App. That's where you want to get all your market data. That's where you want to interact with other investors, you know, talk about what's happening in markets. And I mean, hey, if you're a great thinker, if you're a market mover, if you're someone who, you know, is conscious about where they put their money and why, Hisa is definitely for you. Hang out with like-minded people. And also listen to this and other cool podcasts from the Kenyan Wall Street. Felix, let's start this thing, yeah? There's something that I was reading in the beginning of this week from... I read it from the East African, and they were saying that banks are actually planning, or banks are tightening their rules for collateral, specifically collateral tied to real estate. So if you took a loan, based off of the value of land that you have, in case the value of that land depreciates, banks are tightening their rules to make sure that, you know, you bridge that gap in collateral such that they're not exposed. And you know why? This is because real estate is one of the biggest contributors when it comes to collateral, because big banks alone hold $37.1 billion worth of security. I said dollars. What do you guys think? Do you think if a bank gave you a loan in, say, 2018, based off of any security, and the value of that security depreciates either but because of market forces or because of inflation, do you think you should be able to top up the value of security? And, you know, the loan has already been given, and technically, if you've been repaying, the value of that loan has depreciated, so technically, the risk has also gone down.
But I think, Ali, the question is, you know, these are two-way situation.
Right.
The value of your land might depreciate or appreciate.
Yeah.
But why doesn't anybody talk about the other part where it appreciates? What do we do then?
What would you want to see?
Exactly, because that's now like I have a better deal. Like it's towards on my side, I'm the one with the upper hand, as opposed to when my land depreciates, when maybe I've taken a loan from the bank and then my collateral is a land and the value of that land depreciates. But what if it appreciates? Because it's a two-way situation. Nobody has said that just to depreciate.
But here's the thing, Philip. Sorry, I'm so used to
it. It's okay. It's okay.
Just if the value of your land does appreciate, the bank has nothing to gain from, apart from the fact that knowing that they're more secure. That's the thing. Like, that's the thing.
They can trust in you repaying.
They just trust you a little bit. Well, not that they more. Trust you.
Never. It's they just, never do that.
You see what they do with the pens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just that in case should you decide not to pay, they're just as covered. That's it.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, in case we are covered less, you guy, you bring your Nissan Note also to the picture, because your Kaplot in Kamulu has depreciated. I don't know, Felix. What do you think?
I think it's really an interesting bit, because we're seeing banks here talking about, we've seen over the past few years, we've seen banks really work on a lot in terms of loan loss provisions.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been to cover for losses that are attributed to loans that are probably being paid by investors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The major concern for me here is what do investors have to, or let's say the debtors, the guys who owe banks these loans, you know, what is it that they get to gain at the same time? Because as much as we're talking with about the revaluation of property, just as the banks are saying, and that's where I get to agree with Enoch on what he's mentioned, you know. Banks are talking about them revaluating your property when it's going down.
Right.
But how about we talk about when the property, what would happen if the value of the property is going up? Does it mean that if I had a property that's probably worth a million shillings, you know, and then I took a loan that's worth probably 980,000 or 900,000, because banks would always give you. One of the things that people don't know is if your property is worth a million, there's no bank that will exactly give you something worth a million. They probably give you something worth around 700,000. So if the value of my property would go up, am I allowed to cash into the small space, you know? Can I go back to the bank and request for more loan using the same collateral, you know? That is one thing, that is one scenario that I'm trying to...
So get a top-up, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, they need a top-up as well. When the property value goes down, they need a top-up. So how about me? Do I get a top-up for the amount of money at any point whenever I need to jump in? So that's just one, Ali. The other second thing would also be to acknowledge that banks have really lost a lot in terms of guys not paying various loans and giving them shitty securities, just to be honest, you know?
Right.
Or collateral. One of the best scenarios I've seen in recent history has been for somebody who took a lien with the shares, you know, and somebody took a lien with the Uchumi shares. Can you imagine? With Uchumi shares, back then when Uchumi was worth, when Uchumi was worth about 11 shares.
You mean when Uchumi existed?
Yeah, when Uchumi existed, somebody took a loan with that. Now the bank is trying to repossess their money, and then you're seeing that the value of 3 million which these guys gave you for Uchumi shares, right now that value is worth not even more than 150,000. So I think to some extent I would agree with the banks, even it came to repossessing the costs that they need. And even we've seen that in cars. Somebody take a bank loan with a car, and yes, they have the insurance paid, but the next thing you're seeing here is the car has issues, man. I've seen cases where guys say, and this is now also to the bank and also to the user, because it's a two-way thing. And I've seen this, and I'll just mention a bank. I think a few weeks ago, somebody mentioned something about NCBA having provided them with a loan. And then once they were 80% on paying the loan, and then the car, the NCBA came back and repossessed the car, you know.
Why? So, I mean, why?
Yeah, so in case, okay, whenever you're looking at it, something like that is for collateral.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you'd imagine where NCBA came back to collect the car, and they find that the car is probably sitting in a yard somewhere. The car doesn't have value, you know.
Right.
So yeah, at times whenever we're looking at this in terms of revaluation of all the securities, it's an interesting bit, but we really have to agree that yes, banks, we need to have a more dynamic source whenever we're talking about revaluation of property, revaluation of collateral of securities that we give. Because can you imagine if equity or, sorry for mentioning the bank guys,
no,
but
go for it.
But if equity had done a revaluation of the shares that this gentleman had given, about like even in 6 or 7 years ago, if they would be doing, say, a 2-year evaluation, I'm really, really sure they would have saved a lot, rather than now being left with a million shares of Uchumi, yet you technically have nothing out of this.
Very, very little value.
Exactly. Yeah, I think something about this, what they're working on, is something that there's a complexity aspect that's going to come into play that's going to be really intense for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because considering the value of things, even over just about a year, we're going into an election year. There's going to be a valuation of things, and the valuation is going to go down by default.
Right.
So if you're going to be repaying within that year, you're going to be paying probably less. So I think there's a complexity play that's going to come into play for this very project they're working on. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be intense.
I think for me, I look at it this way. First of all, to answer your question, Felix, I do not know whether or not banks would casually offer you, you know, you guys, your security has upped. We give you an additional
we give you
cake.
Extra. we can offer you more.
I think that conversation is usually subject to need, and I have seen people willingly or easily access top ups, mostly when they are in jobs that have a lot of security. So we're talking about guys in the armed forces, because the government will never mess up with KDF
finances
or teachers, because I mean, while TSC has issues adding salaries, they almost always remit on time.
Yeah.
Always. So I've seen those guys easily access top-ups, but that's based on their salary, not their collateral.
Yes.
So I'm not so sure I can answer that.
It's definitive about them. Yeah.
But maybe it's time to do this. What if we have a more data-centric approach towards lending? Because here's the thing, yeah. If you're using just the common securities, you're using your title deed, so that's land, using your logbook.
And it's okay. And come on, guys, let's agree. Most people take loans with their cars, and whenever
yeah,
you're taking a loan with your car,
much.
We definitely need a revaluation. Because even with insurance, your car value
depreciates
at
constant.
The end of probably
that's
at,
constant.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
constant. At the end of every month, whenever you're doing insurance, if you're taking it every 3 months,
mm-hmm.
For those guys who take short-term insurance, if you're taking a long-term for 1 year, there's always going to be the revaluation.
Yeah.
Why? Because the value of your car has depreciated. And even if you're importing your car, the reason why you need to import your car, if you import a newer version of the car, you'd probably be charged higher by KRA.
Yeah.
Right.
It's because of the depreciating factor. That is attached into this space. So yes, I agree. Come on, if guys are taking the loans using their cars, come on, go for it.
Mix work.
Yeah, but if guys are taking
sense.
Land, come on, man. I mean, unless somebody bought land in Konza during that time, Konza was
wow,
high.
When,
or
it
was,
yeah,
Konza.
When its valuation was.
There's something called the Lamu Port, and I am watching it very closely. Because total disclaimer, I am a native of Lamu, so I watched the land climb from, you know, 10-20k an acre to like to atrocious 300-400 because of Lapset, and
yeah.
guys were like, oh, all of a sudden
this
is now prime land.
Yeah,
the pipeline is going to be
passing
here, the road is going to be passing here.
They need my land.
And then, you know, while the port is running well, they've completed 3 bus, just in case you don't know. The viability of the project is...
No, guys,
yeah.
guys, Angalia, this is very basic. I always ask, and I've constantly asked Ali,
right.
if you're buying land next to the port, man, will you be using this port? Like, how will you... It's,
yeah.
like somebody telling you to buy land next to the SGR. Like,
yeah.
you'll be
how
using
are you
the
going
train
to use
every
it?
Day.
Yeah, how are you going
but
to use
isn't
it?
That... Like half
the whole
half
aspect
of
it, yeah.
No, no,
the whole aspect of
let's
it is
talk about Kenyan
you buy
real
because you expect it the valuation to grow. That's
forget valuation. Isn't when it comes to determining rent, when it comes to determining the cost of land, isn't that what we use? Oh, this land,
precisely.
Oh, this house is close to the road, so
you
guys have to pay more.
Yeah.
This land is
I mean,
close to
I mean,
this
I do
amenity
not know what,
or that amenity,
so you're gonna have
yeah.
to pay more.
No, but come on, guys. Like I usually tell guys, like an example is. You'd see a house in Syokimau and probably it's going like 15 minutes drive to the airport, to JKIA, 5 minutes drive to, you know, the SGR.
They need to add traffic calculations.
Yeah, like come on, I
it's
usually
need a lot of data.
You know, I usually ask myself, will you be taking flights daily? You work in Nairobi. Where the heck will you be going?
You're flying.
Okay,
every
yeah,
time.
So it's 15 minutes.
Okay, unless
what about are you flying?
That,
every
and
time,
you know,
yeah.
It's absolutely correct if these guys are buying those airplanes that KAA is auctioning.
Oh, I saw one for 19k.
5,000. You're saying 19k?
Yeah,
as low as 5,000. My nigga, you got a plane, but do you have the jet fuel?
No, but actually, Okay, so like a pun is that jet fuel is actually cheaper.
That's news to me.
It's actually cheaper than the fuel
than
petrol.
What?
Yeah.
Surprise.
you know you could have had a plane right now, right? I'm just saying.
Like if you had it already, it would be cheaper to run.
Hey, it's 5th of November.
Yeah,
end month was just Jesus.
Yeah,
sure.
Take the risk.
Come on, guys. Yeah. So guys, in case you're listening, if you want a plane, the Kenya Airports Authority is actually doing an auction for a few aircrafts. And yes, you can get yourself a plane for 5,000, but you really have to have the money to ensure that you're going to be able to get these airplanes off from where they are. And I'm sure that most of us, that would actually come
that's
in.
That would be the big cost.
Yeah.
Right. Moving away from the bank story, something else that I'd like, you know what? Safaricom. Guys, let's talk about it.
The big player.
Let's talk about the big player. So we all know that Safaricom was ahead of the Senate committee this week, and they were there because, you know what, other service providers wanted them to be declared dominant. And it's been a very, very, very sticky situation, to say it nicely, because first of all, what they haven't. Second of all, if they were declared dominant, of course, some of the things within their purview, within their control would have to be regulated. And I'm talking about pricing here, I'm talking about data, and at least that is what I think. But let's leave the 7net committee out of this. Let's talk about it as Kenyans. We all use M-Pesa, so I hope. What do you think, guys? Is it time that maybe we have some sort of control? And in case we do have some sort of control, you know, when it comes to things like transaction charges, do you think that will favor investors of Safaricom? Because of course it's going to affect Safaricom numbers in one way or another. M-Pesa is indeed
by definition. That's something that's the
Do you think that's something we should look at?
I think that's one of the most dangerous questions you can try to answer.
Because we won't be curious.
It depends.
That's what we do.
It depends on the side that you are on. If you are like an employee of Safaricom, if you're an investor in Safaricom, there's things like this that you actually see, you know, I'm investing this much, I expect this much in return.
Right.
You see, but then on the side of the user, you're like, this actually doesn't make sense. They're costing me this much to just transact this much. So for yourself as a user, as an individual user, you'd see it doesn't make sense. They're making too much.
But that's the thing. They are making too much.
You see, the quality of the service is actually worthwhile. What they do.
Allow me to say this.
Like, you pay for Prada, you pay for Gucci, knowing that they actually put in the hours.
I work in Mumbai, can't
some of these things, it's actually very intense to try and work them out, you know? Because when you try and look at them from both sides of the coin, it actually gets intense.
Here's my argument. I like using this figure. Mm-hmm. If you use Paybill at the moment, you buy power for 200.
Yeah. Oh,
the transaction charge is going to be
$3. Yeah, that's actually dangerous. That's
more than 10%.
That's higher, yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
That's on the high end. That's on the high end. So
that is a lot of money.
Regulation makes sense always. It's good to always have like a bar for everyone. Like whether you come in with all your power, whether you come in, it's always good to have some rules on the ground so that everyone is like on level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, this is a tricky one. This is a very tricky one because you look at Safaricom and they've had this you know continuous investment in what they offer. Continuously looking at you know what's innovative, what can we offer these people
that's
worthwhile their costs. So I think for stuff like apps, you know, like you're not sure whether you're actually actively, you know, how do I call it, adding up to what they offer. Like, do you sit down and just say I'm contributing? Yeah, the word is contribute. That's left my mind. Am I contributing to the development of this app? I'm using it, but how much does it cost? I don't know. You know, so there's aspects to the service they offer is worthwhile, what they ask for. But then on the other end, it's like, this is actually intense. So I think regulation is worthwhile, but to some level.
Eno, what do you think?
You know what, Ali?
Send him person.
You know, it's like
here's my number.
No,
here's
my
number.
That's, yeah, listen. You know, it's like Airtel is like that. We in school, that kid who always studies but never comes out on
top. Wow.
You know, games time is in class,
yeah,
or she's in
yeah,
class
yeah,
in the morning.
Time.
Yeah,
dedicating
but
time.
You know, we are past the world where people work hard. We are working
smart.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's a statement that Safaricom made. They were like, okay, you know, we are getting this. We are dominant because we have a plan. We
yeah.
we invest.
We
pump
deliver,
our money
yeah,
in this, and that is not something that we take by chance. That is some they really like that is truthful because come on, when you look at quality of services like Safaricom, when you want to use, you can buy a 1 GB bundle at Safaricom. You cannot compare 1 GB bundle of Safaricom with Airtel. I mean,
they
no,
actively
no,
go
I, I don't. I'm not taking sides, but.
They
as
actually,
a user,
yeah,
I'm just giving my feedback as a user. I
right.
mean, you know, I'm more into, as a user, more interested in the quality of service you're offering me. Like, if I have to pay more for the quality of service, then fine, but not for anything else. Quality, yes.
I digress. Allow me to rock back the conversation to the original direction.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, well, Airtel is. Airtel is arguing that Safaricom is or should be declared
dominant.
Because of the following reasons.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Safaricom has a market share of above 50%. That's definitely not a surprise. The exact figure is actually around, what is it? Is it 60 what percent? It's actually 64%
oh,
market
biggest
share.
Biggest player.
And
50 plus 1%.
Right? Airtel is at 27%. That is as of June, and Telkom is at 7% for reasons that are beyond my understanding. And then when
I think the saddest thing about all this is that Safaricom was once a subsidiary for Telkom. I think that's a very sad bit. Like Safaricom was a department in Telkom. Can you guys imagine?
An office on the corner.
An
there.
Office at the corner.
Right.
Yeah, and you guys were always zileza. When Telkom used to say. You know, those days when Telkom used to connect guys with wires everywhere.
Yeah, London,
you know.
Yeah.
Safcom was just a department where they were trying a new technology.
Yeah, just a new innovative idea to work on.
Oh my God.
I think that's
stressful. Whenever you're getting onto that bit and you're seeing that Airtel has come to a point where Airtel...
They're getting frustrated.
7%.
27.
No, okay.
Telkom is 7%.
No, like Telkom, not Airtel guys.
Telkom
is 7%.
Frustration.
And they are the parents.
these are like, you know, Telkom was like, for guys, just so that you get to understand, Telkom was the first telecommunications company in the country.
But I think what they need to do is up their game. That's what
no,
I would offer.
No, I think like,
yeah,
there's
offer competition.
I mean,
actually,
for me,
competition.
Honestly, I feel there's a point. When there's nothing,
mm-hmm.
it's like uchumi.
Oh yeah. At that point, you're like,
you can't
okay,
this.
No, okay, definitely you can't compare the two. Telkom really has a lot of opportunity. Even Airtel, the entire telecommunications game, the entire telecommunications space, sorry, not game, but the space is very it's open. I mean, why are we not comparing JTL? You know, because
yeah.
guys actually, there's the fiber network. I don't know if they hold 0.01 or the percentage that they have, but I think it's pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
But why are we not comparing, even despite the data? Because in terms of technology, JTL could actually outdo Safari.
Huh.
But let me tell you one thing. You know, in the technology industry, it's not about how competent you are. It's about what do you offer. It's more quality. If you've seen Safaricom, what do they bring on the table? Why do people pay more? Because M-Pesa is reliable.
Yeah.
You know, that is what a user... Most people are lazy. That's
somebody
why technology is there.
That actually makes sense.
I
yeah,
actually remember somebody said if you're in Kisumu and somebody sends you money on Airtel Money, you'd look for an Airtel Money shop or agent like a madman.
That actually makes sense.
But what about
like
M-Pesa? If someone sent you,
it's green.
It's always there.
Wherever
said,
you stop, it's
you know,
green.
Somebody said at the entire bus stop in Kisumu, there's only a single individual with an Airtel Money, and he's not reliable. He can close.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, akitoka kidogo when he's off.
You're finished. You're not traveling.
I think that's a problem. I think
yeah.
I agree.
Offer competition.
You know, yeah. I agree with the data that Airtel came in and said, you know what, we're giving you as. They actually gave the Senate committee very good recommendations. There are countries like Botswana where Airtel is actually declared a dominant player, you know,
mm-hmm.
In that space, and with a very, very low margin, about 34% if I'm correct. So we're looking at this in the case where these companies are being declared their market dominant, but there are a lot of other factors, you know, that affect all this. My main concern with Airtel and Telkom is that these companies are not really, I would say they're not evolving, you know. It's still the same old Airtel. Still the same old Telkom. Very few things are changing. Even if Telkom is bringing in a little bit of new tech, you know, we've seen them now bring in the new prefixes, but the service still remains the same. I mean, yes, they would try to target the youth by giving guys, you know, online data or... At night, you have 1 GB for free. But come on, guys, we would honestly really agree.
Quality.
That the quality, because if I'm in my house, I'm very sure I have a Telkom line, guys. And I can confirm to you guys that in my house, I don't have Airtel. I have Airtel when I'm outside. So, nikifika, when I'm inside the house, I leave Telkom network at the door,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's a huge concern. I've seen guys actually tell... Telkom that I'm just right next to your mast, you know, and I cannot get.
I think like
and then Telkom replies to maybe that tweet with Safaricom data.
I remember, you know, and then these guys are also not innovative. They're not trying to close the gap, but I think it's more of these companies are running on Safaricom's infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because look at it
and
from
innovation.
This, just look at it from this aspect. Ali,
mm-hmm.
whenever we're talking about Safaricom, for example, you'd always see in this manner these companies. When you're talking about Airtel, not Safaricom, but Airtel and Telkom, you know these guys allow you, and this is the craziest bit of all this. These companies would allow you to use Safaricom services so that you can top up your network.
Yeah,
I don't know about Rollins and Enoch. But I think it's very funny. Can you guys imagine? You have your Airtel line, and for you to top it up, you have to use Safaricom services. I mean, why didn't you just tell guys if you're on Airtel, you're on Airtel? I mean, I've never seen where you can use your Airtel money
to buy Safaricom.
But then,
Felix, that's a no-brainer. Everyone uses M-Pesa.
Do you remember in the previous election when Raila, Honorable Raila, declared that there's some services we should not subscribe to,
like M-Pesa.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But if Airtel never made use of that, never took advantage of that, then what are you talking about?
I think you look at the global stage and these companies like Apple, compare them to Samsung, compare them to, you know, Oppo, Huawei.
It's like comparing Apple to Tecno.
There's value that they offer that makes them quite unique. You make it look like
they stand
this
out.
Is a reasonable
gentleman of
option
the
to go for.
Gentlemen
so,
of the press.
you know one thing.
And friends.
Also one thing that we also have to acknowledge in this bit is the investment space for most of these companies,
mm-hmm.
come on, it's all a lie. You know, Safaricom is investing. I think Safaricom's CapEx,
yeah.
The capital expenditure as at the previous financial year was about 34 billion Kenya shillings.
Yeah.
And they're looking at that actually going up to 40 billion. That is in the current financial year, you know.
Wow.
My main concern is these companies, come on, Airtel's capital expenditure is so low, and they have to wait for approval from Bharti Airtel in India to actually
India
give them approval.
So that they can actually go ahead.
In some of these spaces. Last year, we saw Telkom actually get into an agreement with AT&T, right?
Mm-hmm.
About, using some of AT&T's, what was it? Was it the telecommunication service? I'm trying to forget.
I don't remember.
It's Friday, guys. Understand.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember the deal between Telkom and AT&T. And it was supposed to improve their services, you know.
Yeah.
And the concern would really be, what level do we have? What level of engagement, or how far Do we have that out here? The other concern that I think is really, really coming in hot for me is Airtel and Safaricom had agreed early in the year, earlier last year, right? Towards mid last year to do a merger. And it came to the limelight mid
this year. You mean Airtel and Telkom?
Yeah, it was Airtel and Safaricom. I was actually wondering what's happening here. What country am I in?
The only thing that Airtel, the only thing that Safaricom
what country am I in?
The only thing that, Safaricom can do to Airtel is to you know, buy out that company. I think that's the only thing that Safaricom can do to Airtel. It's probably an acquisition. But we had Telkom and Airtel actually plan for a merger. And this would have really brought them to a certain level in terms
they
of...
they could compete.
Yeah, like, it would bring them to the competing space. But you guys want to make money by eating onto a company that has extensively...
You mean with 35% market share?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, but take the opportunity and like...
Come on, it would be an opportunity.
Work on something, yeah.
Guys, gentlemen of the press, allow me to bring back this conversation to the original
war.
My question is... let me read Airtel's argument here.
Thank you.
And you know what? Airtel is blaming the Communication Authority for what it considers skewed allocation of mobile spectrum in favor of Safaricom and failure to reduce the fees that mobile phone operators charge for each other for interconnecting calls. Beyond that, Telkom was arguing that Safaricom should charge fairly for sending money from Safaricom to other networks. While, you know, companies have total control towards their investments in their customers,
in their infrastructure, in their services.
Software,
yeah. The whole
don't you think we should have an even regulatory playground? That's the question here.
Let me ask you, Ali.
Ask me.
When you're the top student, you put in the work and you've scored an A plane.
Mm.
Does it mean you're supposed to go and do Bachelor of Arts? Because it's based on equality. No, you put in the work.
Come on, first of all, let's not attack. No offense.
Ali, you can't be here today and you did BA. I'm so sure about that. I mean, like, okay, something else, like a minute course. Okay,
Bachelor
a course that doesn't name
commerce,
no names mentioned.
I mean, like the Bachelor of Arts that does not have anything else.
Course B,
like
that, the
yeah,
course A that's and course B.
No joke, no that one. Fanya BA, baba in tuma. See Bachelor of Arts in something. Just purely BA, no specialization.
Ouch. Wow.
Sorry. But I mean, like you have your index one. This guy has always been putting in the work. It's not like he's being favored. Because
here's the thing.
We're not blaming Safaricom.
What we're trying to say is, don't you think we should have an even regulatory playground? So in the case of equal spectrum to everyone.
I believe you also know that what you give is what you get.
No, because it's actually coming in as a risky bit when it comes to the spectrum, because remember that at the same time when JTL was actually launching the fiber network, Safaricom complained that JTL was given the 5G spectrum and yet they had met all the requirements. CA did not actually give them. Remember?
Yeah.
And so it's like CA was actually favoring JTL to allow them to launch fast and be like the first guys to hit in on the bit for 5G.
And take what you
just.
You see?
Yeah, exactly. But
precisely.
Right now, we're actually looking at a time when Safcom is now in the space and they're comfortable with it. But I think it's actually a concern because Airtel is saying they're sort of limited in terms of growth because of the spectrum that they have, you know. And I think even as much as we've seen Safaricom, we've seen CS Jomo Sheru actually come in and say, like, you know what, guys, let us not hit on Safaricom for being successful, you know. Let us not hit them for the investment that they've done over time. But it's a huge concern as well that the tech companies are bringing in, the telecommunications companies are bringing in very valid stance. And the only thing that I think CA can actually do is, you know, to look at how to rationalize the spectrum so that these companies could actually get a near equal.
Yeah.
It can be equal, definitely, but because one of them is already way larger and
they're
using that spectrum. They're using it
to the full extent.
To the fullest.
Yeah.
I mean, if Safaricom would be given an extra space to, if they would be given additional spectrum, they would definitely go for it.
They'd use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Felix, you know what? I subscribe to your school of thought. But the problem is, but the problem is, where do we live? We live in Kenya, right?
Yeah.
So whoever has the upper hand, that is the guy who's got the better deal.
Trust your systems.
Yeah, I mean, let's no offense, but you know we have to accept ourselves. Like, where are we? We are not Canadians. We are Kenyans.
We're not in the country.
It's like, I mean, it's I'm not talking. I'm not saying this ignorantly, but I'm saying this from a better position. But still, this is what is there. It's like, have you seen the voter turnout for this year? It's low. Why do you think people have not turned out to?
I
want to
talk about it, but I'm on.
Sorry,
Wall Street,
sorry,
so
sorry.
Can't touch that.
But yeah, that is just
you
a side note.
Right.
That is a side note. Like,
right.
I mean, like, I think Kenyans have reached a level where they know that maybe systems don't work the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't want to say that they've given up on the systems, but they've seen the status quo. Like, what is current situation? What is
right. I'd like us to move away from Kenya and away from let's talk about another big telco, but then this time at a regional level.
Wow.
MTN, the provider of MTN Momo.
Wow.
And Momo has nothing to do with Eno ne Momo. If you know, you know. Now, MTN and Airtel.
If you don't know, forget about it.
You had to. MTN and Airtel got approval approval in principle to operate payment services bank in Nigeria. And I don't know, Felix, I don't know, there's this entry of mobile service providers
into financial systems.
Into the financial system,
yeah.
Specifically banking services. Felix, what do you feel about all this?
These are tech companies, guys. These are not mobile service providers. These are tech companies, and Safaricom has actually told you guys for a very long time,
mm-hmm,
that they are a tech company and
they can spread
their
wings into
come on,
any
environment. They can spread
their
wings,
yeah,
to any single environment that they can actually get an opportunity to actually move into. I think for one thing, for MTN and for Airtel, so it's not only MTN but also
Airtel yeah,
actually
right.
Got approval today from got the approval so that they can we really say that they got the approval?
The pre-approval
bit really came in through, and it was a good day for the company, because first of all we saw
it's a first step that would lead to eventual approval,
yeah,
and this,
yeah,
that's what
it's,
MTN
it's just
does.
That bit where you've been cleared, so we're technically waiting for the green light,
right?
So this is just a bit, it's close to 2 years after the company submitted The company submitted the application.
Almost 3, 2018, right?
Yeah, it's been long. So yeah, I think that's really a concern. It's also been taking long. I don't know why it's taking this long, but that's a concern. In this case, we're seeing MTN, which is Africa's largest telecommunications company, you know, come in and tell guys in Nigeria that they have the conditional approval to operate mobile banking in Nigeria. And this actually, what this means is that MTN can actually submit applications to the regulator for a final license that will allow them to take deposits, to offer remittance services, to issue electronic purposes, to issue electronic passes. That is like an M-Pesa account, you know.
Wait, Nigeria doesn't have like M-Pesa thingy?
No.
Hi. How have they been living?
Card.
My. Wait, card?
Yes.
Wait, Nigeria doesn't have mobile money?
Oh, no, there's card and then there's... And then there's wallet service. It's just a regulation, like what has been happening in
you're kidding me.
No, Ali, you know what I'm trying to say is that, remember, Uganda also has similar regulations. Where currently,
it's
I think
Museveni, we understand. not to be a party boomer, but then it's Museveni, we kind of understand.
Why are we against Museveni? So yes.
No. We are not against Museveni.
Don't mention us.
So,
okay, against
guys, just one thing that we need to understand is, it's not like Nigeria doesn't have mobile-based money services.
Mm.
The only thing is that Nigeria doesn't have a telco-led mobile money service. Like what we've seen in the local space where we're seeing Safaricom and Airtel, and telecom actually lead. Because like an example is when you're looking at Kenya, we're seeing Safaricom being a telco-led mobile money. The M-Pesa being a telco-led mobile money.
So the key missing part is the telco-led.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So that yes, guys can be able to access. Ali, you know, guys can be able to access money directly from their bank through probably USSD services, and probably have access to their banks yet. But bank is the main player in this case. It's no longer telco. But now in this case, we're seeing MTN actually getting that approval and Airtel coming in as well for them. So how this usually happens is, first of all, I think it was a good day for MTN because shares for MTN were actually up about 19% today. So this was actually an interesting bit for MTN. So MTN shares were up on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. And I don't know what happened to MTN Rwanda. I'd love to see how the shares were trading and all the other MTN subsidiaries that are trying to list right now. Whoa, did I just say light now? Interesting.
which reminds me, what's before we move away from that, what's happening with MTN locally?
Locally, we don't have an MTN here in Kenya.
No, I mean, like, of course, but with regards to Kenyans accessing the share. You know, the whole story about MTN Uganda IPO, that's what I'm trying to get at. Chill, bro.
You know, guys, when somebody says what's happening locally, MTN
locally,
you know, you'd be like, whoa, do we have MTN here in Kenya?
No, we do not.
How come we didn't know we had MTN?
We didn't know.
Yeah, but
how come we don't have MTN in Kenya?
That's the question.
Safaricom is already dominant.
Safaricom is taken.
Vodafone, Nama. Yeah.
Safaricom is dominant.
Safaricom is in play.
Can you say Safaricom is dominant? No, guys, I recall that Safaricom has not been declared dominant.
But
it is.
Let's just, to be politically correct, let's just say Safaricom has the biggest market
biggest
share.
Share.
True.
Yeah.
Exactly. True. What?
So it makes it tough for new entries.
Why?
me, the other
people. You won't indulge in that.
Do I look like I want a lawsuit? Like
so for the local space, guys, MTN Uganda actually received approval from Capital Markets Authority earlier this week. I think that was on Wednesday evening, where they were actually given the green light to actually start marketing their IPO. So in case you're new to this, MTN Uganda, I won't say they were forced, but yes, there's regulation in Uganda that actually pushes all telecommunications companies to actually list their services, or list their shares,
right,
on the Ugandan Securities Exchange. This is a good starting point because it gives the USC a very interesting bit, and it's likely going to put a lot of activity as well on the dormant market, one of the most dormant markets in East Africa. I wouldn't say it's dormant per se, but come on, it's very inactive. To be honest, the Ugandan Securities Exchange is one of the most, I think, inactive markets in East Africa. Though we've never had a day where there's no trade that has happened, like in Tanzania, where there's a time when there was no transaction that completely happened on the securities exchange in Tanzania. But just in case you're wondering how dormant the Ugandan securities market is, just so you know, is that for today's trading session, the USC has done less than 50,000 Kenya shillings worth of stocks that have traded on that market. Yesterday,
you're kidding.
Come on, yeah.
A whole day.
Yeah, like, come on, it's a whole day.
Wait, when they get
countrywide,
they don't get 24 hours like us. Sheesh.
Does it lock down at like 5 p.m. or something?
I don't know why guys are surprised onto this, but yes, USC has had a very low market activity. Yesterday alone,
we're giving it in Ugandan shillings to give us hope.
To give us proper context.
About 1.5.
To give us hope.
No, yesterday there was about 1.5 million worth, Uganda shillings worth. So
of
come
trading.
On, guys.
sounds
better.
It gives us some hope.
So, and also in case you're wondering, guys, the reason why MTN is a big deal for Uganda is because once MTN lists, the market capitalization for MTN is going to be twice as large as the current market cap of the Ugandan Securities Exchange. So technically, MTN is going to be a dominant player already.
Mm-hmm. So MTN is going to be their Safaricom on the exchange.
On the exchange. But I'm looking at it in this way. We see a lot of more companies coming to the market. We're probably seeing, I think Airtel Uganda will be listing. I don't know if there's Airtel in Uganda, but I really think there should be. it just feels right. Like, yes, we have built it.
You want them to be part of the fight.
Right? Just on the MTM issue, guys, the CMA provided no objection for MTN Uganda.
There's Airtel Uganda. So, yes, we're probably looking for most of these companies like Airtel Uganda to probably list. Guys, if you're working at Airtel or a friend of Airtel, we're not hitting at you on this show. It's just about a few facts that we're trying to get right. So please don't feel hit on in any way. And Caro, yeah, Caro from Airtel, I saw how she responded to somebody, some educated fool. Please, guys, don't hit on us. Yeah. So Caro from Airtel, we cool.
Caro from both, stay away from me.
You guys think it's the same guy? No, like, one of them, do you think it's the same Caro? Because Bolt has a Caro who's very annoying. Airtel has a Caro who's very, very... I think she...
It's the same person.
It's not touched that.
Most likely, it's the same person.
That. Same personality.
Yeah.
What I was trying to say was the CMA has given no objection for MTN Uganda to market the IPO in Kenya. So the shares
and actually MTN has MTN is already on the road. So yes, MTN has gotten the green light and they're already starting. I think today, earlier on today, there was actually a trend that was something that was a paid trend promotion on Twitter.
Yeah.
About MTN IPO. So yes, they're already there. And I think they're looking for Kenyan investors because, first of all, we're the most active guys in East Africa in terms of investing.
For sure.
But I don't know why Ugandan Securities Exchange would need me to have 6-month bank statement.
Wow. Wait, to invest?
They need that.
Yeah, like...
Quality, like, they're giving you a loan.
To open the SDC account in Uganda, you need...
The hell?
You need
so for me to offer you opportunity, you're going to look at me.
Yeah, like, come on. I mean, like... Okay, yeah, I know it's normal KYC. And guys, in case you're wondering, definitely... For all investment banks here locally, they would always require you to provide at least probably like a 1-month bank statement. But it's always for anti-money laundering purposes.
Yeah.
And these are strategies that are set by CMA. That they
that turnover is 50k a day. Launder, what money?
That actually makes sense.
No,
6 months.
No,
you're
offense,
tracking
bro.
Me for 6 months.
50k.
Come on.
6 months.
Ali, like, honestly...
I don't know what money
this,
where.
I was thinking of this, and then out there...
Why would I do that?
You know, guys, I was actually thinking of this, and then out there I was like, dude, somebody's looking at your statement and seeing, like, this 50,000 Kenyan shilling. He's like, this is our turnover. And then he sees...
He goes to his boss.
Yeah.
50,000 the whole day.
Kansime.
A whole country.
They have more than our turnover in their statement.
Oh, my God. Did you have to pull a Kansime?
Kansime. Kansime.
Mention names. Mention names. They'll come after you. They'll be after you.
No, like, you probably see, like, a 1 million Kenyan shillings turnover, and you're like, no, this is money laundering. This is not working.
And in Kenya, they'll be just, this is just
this
money.
This is
no
normal.
Yeah.
This is
money.
Just transaction.
Right. Come on. Come on. 6 months.
Yeah. No, I still think I feel that one is quite a huge one for MTN, for SDC in Uganda. That is an equivalent of the CDSC, guys. It's just a huge concern that they're requiring guys to provide a whole 6-month statement. I think that's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
The requirements, I think some of the things that they need to clear out to investors, there are a lot of things that, guys, you need to understand before you invest in Uganda. I am not an anti-MTN IPO subscriber, but I'm definitely looking at an easy opportunity for guys to invest within the region. One of the main concerns if you're investing in Uganda would be dividend repatriation.
You
have to be concerned about that because that happens in Rwanda, that happens in Uganda, and it's a mess, guys. Umeme declared a dividend and you're seeing guys were paid last week. You have to wait 6 months before you get that dividend. You know, at times it's a mess. You probably have your shares. You probably have your shares in Uganda. And I know I gave this example a few days ago and it's really, really sickening when you have your shares in Uganda. You have your 2,000, 3,000 Stanbic shares for Uganda. I'm using Stanbic shares because, come on, it's the most case scenario that guys usually have. It's one of the top traders on Uganda's market. And just to give you the data, today Stanbic Bank Uganda has traded 33,500 shares at a price of...
Here comes the bombshell.
26 Ugandan shillings. That is an equivalent of 1.12 million. It's a top trader, you know?
Wow. Oh,
so
my God.
It's a huge one. I mean...
Felix,
actually, come on, guys. It's 871,000 Ugandan shillings. And just to give you guys that in Kenyan shillings,
crossover.
Let's cross over to guys, just in case you're wondering. Stanbic Bank Uganda, which is the top trader on the Ugandan Securities Exchange, has traded shares valued at 27,337 Kenya shillings. So yes, once again, I'm not hitting onto Uganda, but I'm just giving you guys the facts. If you wanted to sell and make a trade, the illiquidity and the inactivity, because come on, we have Kenyan companies that are cross-listed and they do billions of trades on this local space, but they don't do billions of trades the same way they do in Uganda. In case you're wondering, definitely Kenyan companies are the most, they have the highest numbers in Uganda, looking at it from Jubilee Holding, Centum Investment, East African Breweries Limited, Kenya Airways. And yes, you're right, KQ is still trading on the Ugandan Securities Exchange, KCB Group, Nation Media Group, Stanbic, which Stanbic is not Kenyan, Uchumi was suspended. So come on, guys, really. I still think these companies need to figure out how you can be able to, you know, remit your dividends, because it's a huge challenge. And even your proceeds from a sale transaction.
I'm curious.
It could take you as high as, in Kenya, it takes you T+3, which NSE is actually working on, giving you guys this as a T+1, where you can be able to settle your shares and your money in a day. But for MTN, for Uganda, guys.
Don't attack the wrong people.
Ali, I'm telling you this from personal experience.
Are you investing in Uganda?
I bought, come on.
Mr. International.
With the 50 KD, like the whole country's come about.
Mr. International.
No, guys. Stop it.
So like, you know what, I'm mad, let me take over a country.
I mean if I had the money, I would definitely just get into the market, like,
take,
you know what, guys, I want to buy everything,
take the whole
market,
thing,
you know. I know we can
set a record and then talk about it when you go to Milan.
Yeah, but guys, in case you're wondering, you guys complain about BAT Kenya shares, which are trading at about four levels of 300-500. Can you guys imagine that Stanbic BAT Uganda is trading at 30,000.
Wow.
30,000
per share.
Single. What currency?
In Uganda shares.
Yeah. That
crossover back to Kenya.
To people out there, first things first, on Tuesday, we're going to be hosting the MTN CEO, specifically talking about the Uganda IPO. And Felix... MTN Uganda CEO. Thank you for the clarification. And yes, I will ask about some of the regulatory concerns you have, including the remittances of dividend. If there's anything specific you want me to ask the MTN... Uganda CEO on the podcast, email me directly at mwakaneno@hisa.com. That's MWAO. Sorry. Yeah, that thing keeps on messing with my head.
It's Friday.
mwakaneno@hisa.co. That's mwakaneno@hisa.co. And I might ask him. Two, Kenyan investors and other people from the East African community can invest in MTN Uganda. It's a minimum of 500 shares. Fully allocated, it costs about 3,130 or 500 shares, 3,137 in the IPO. Moving on, maybe the last thing that I'd like us to cover tonight is the Squid Game scam. You guys have all watched Squid Game.
Peer pressure.
I don't know. I have watched the trailer. I don't know what's
going on.
You
watched the trailer.
I haven't completed it. It's like three seasons in.
I just saw the trailer
life
on
happens.
Twitter. So yeah. Enoch, have you watched Squid Game?
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Okay. He jumped in.
I'm three episodes in.
he jumped in, and so yeah, that's one thing that's interesting. And we're just being joined by a lady, Lavin. Have you watched Squid Game?
No, not yet. Maybe this weekend.
Right.
Okay, but
I haven't succumbed to peer pressure yet.
But strong.
Yes.
All right. So it's very interesting. Thanks a lot, Lavin, for that comment. We're seeing a lot of guys. In case you're wondering, Squid Game has been one of the latest hits by Netflix, and it's been a record breaker.
It's a trendsetter.
Yeah,
it's a record breaker.
It's,
so.
It's one of those things that come in, and you just want to see what's really happening. The same way Black Widow actually hit on to Disney. Ali, you remember that period when Black Widow hit on to Disney and almost did what box office was actually doing? So, guys, so the Squid Game coin was a coin that was launched with the aim of actually, you know, bringing in the feel, the look and feel. Okay, can you say that was the aim, really?
No. First of all, total disclaimer, the Squid Game themed cryptocurrency and Squid Game are not related in any
yes,
way whatsoever.
They're not.
They're separate.
Right.
So, guys, in case you're wondering what happened, was there was the Squid Coin, the Squid Game coin, and the Squid Game coin came and picked in a lot, giving investors a lot of opportunities to actually jump into. So investors, mostly guys who usually invest in early ICOs or initial coin offerings, you know, guys went in and said, you know what, we want to buy this. And true to that, Squid Game coin rallied a lot. Squid Game coin jumped all the way from zero to $20,000. Can you guys imagine that? I think that had a bit of a high valuation in this bit. So from, guys, you can imagine from zero all the way up to $20,000 per coin.
Effectively zero, like pretty
and
much
then,
zero.
Yeah, like started trading from nil, you know, and then went all the way up. And then, guys, guess what happened?
Crashed.
Crumbled.
No, like, I think, I don't know if crashed is really the right word.
there's no words to actually define properly
yeah,
what
like,
happened.
I mean, I don't know. It literally fell into a black hole, guys. And it's never going to be. I think, in case you're wondering what happened, the coin crashed. The majority shareholder, guy who had a lot of the coins, brought all that down, took down the website, took down the Twitter handle, took down everything that was related to Squid Game, to the Squid Game coin. And
for an actual look at what actually the numbers are, it's like from $2,860 to pretty much nil.
To zero.
That's like a hell of a crash.
that's big
yeah,
time.
And he scammed guys about $3.4 million. So in case you're in tech, there's hope.
Well, what do you mean? Come on, bro.
But guys,
the rag pull.
No,
literally, they dropped
yeah,
on them the rag
yeah,
pull.
Yeah, and it's something that it's actually a concern. And this is what the Squid Game coin creators had to say on Telegram. And remember that Telegram is more of a secure channel, so you can never know who created that Telegram channel. It's only Telegram who might have that information.
And they definitely won't.
Yeah,
it
and
up.
Definitely
going to
they're not going
that.
To do that. So, he said to guys, someone is trying to hack our project these days, not only on the Twitter account, which is at Gogo Squid Game, but also on our smart contracts. We are trying to protect it, but the price is still abnormal. Squid Game Dev does not want to continue running the project as we're depressed from the scammers and it's overwhelming with stress. We have had to remove all the restrictions and the transaction rules of Squid Game. Squid Game will enter a new stage of community autonomy. And most likely to this, we are no longer part of the game.
Wow.
And you're left like that with zero in your account.
Part of the game.
Yeah.
You have zero in your account
and
you're listening to
guys,
that.
You know what, guys? We are no longer part of the game.
Shit. After someone has done... So imagine someone who bought at peak, expecting
at
it
peak,
to rally.
Expecting to
rise at $2,860.
Yeah. I think...
And it just drops.
I think this...
Imagine investing $2,860.
Wait.
Just for it to come to zero.
But that's more than the turnover for you. Never mind.
Don't attack those people. Don't attack a man when he's down. Let's not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but in reality, there's the funds from guys that actually went off. So guys lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the saddest thing is that investors are crying. But you know what, Ali? I think I saw this from the start, to be honest, because... Look at it from this way, guys. There are a lot of sites that you could get data, including major sites like CoinMarketCap actually told guys, you know what? And even Bitfinex actually had a red warning and told guys that this coin is not official. It's not listed on any major exchange. He told guys that. Then again, CoinMarketCap told guys, we're getting reports that you cannot be able to sell on this. That is after it rallied all the way from zero to about $4,000. Told guys, you're not able to... transact on this coin, you're not able to sell it once you buy.
Right.
Please be warned. Guys pumped this coin to 28 freaking thousand.
Wait, so you're telling me that almost everyone who entered didn't exit?
Come on, not
like
almost,
pretty much
everyone
like,
who got into
you're hoping, you're looking
yeah,
at the graph
guys,
and it's just growing.
Guys,
you know,
guys
like,
are not able, so yes, your portfolio is running,
mm-hmm.
and then you're being told there's a lock-in period. Come on, which coin has a lock-in period? Even Bitcoin doesn't have a lock-in period. I mean, I can buy Bitcoin right now, and in the next few minutes, I can sell my Bitcoin. Actually, in the next few seconds, I can be able to sell my Bitcoin. And now you're telling me that I cannot be able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a huge red flag. It was everywhere on the internet. But then, you know, guys came in and said, hey, what? Guys lost their money. It was a huge one. And it's a sad one, but it's also a learning opportunity for investors, you know. If you're about to invest in any of these ICOs, it's always a bit of a challenge. You really have to be, you do have to do a lot of due diligence. And that's why we always say, whenever you're seeing companies, websites giving you tokens, you know, in crypto space, you really need to be careful about this. And that even comes to even IPOs. Some of these IPOs have always been termed as risky. So it's never really just about, as long as it's the initial phase, guys, that shows a lot of uncertainties that come in with that.
Mm.
And for guys who invested in Safaricom's IPO, if you've been holding for long term, good for you. But for guys who invested in this company when it was starting early,
it was come a risk. On.
It started all the way from 5, dropped all the way to 2 shillings, right? And then it jumped back up. And that was because during the period when Safcom was crashing, there was a lot of uncertainty surrounding it.
Right.
Yeah, but now we're seeing in here, strong. It's a big thing. So it's the same when Bitcoin was starting. Bitcoin was trading at very low prices and it had about 2 major crashes, right? From $20,000 all the way down to about $7,000, then went all the way down up again, then reached 30, then went all the way down to $18,000 again. So come on, guys, it doesn't hit the way you think it does. You can never make 1,000, 1,000,000% returns in a single day.
Drastically.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that.
In case you're wondering, we did a financial literacy project with Brian Myers. Just go to Spotify, search Brian Myers, Kenyan Wall Street, you're going to get that pod. Felix, maybe just to close on that, what advice would you give to, I know, I do not know if you consider yourself an expert or not, but I do know that you have more engagements with the crypto market than I do. What advice would you give to people who are, you know, looking to enter crypto and on specifically on how they can avoid such
foxes and games? Yeah.
Well, guys, I think one of the things that you have to look at is there are a lot of red flags. And the main challenge is that most people never do their due diligence,
right,
or their research. And in every investment, the first thing that everybody will tell you whenever you're doing personal finance, at any single point, as long as it's your money, you need to do due diligence at any point before you actually invest in this, you know. Another thing is to, guys, to use official channels. I didn't understand why for you to access the Squid Game coin, you had to go through like 6 or so websites.
Well,
yeah, like,
you just scampering
through
websites.
All the way that so that you can get your coin. I mean, if somebody wanted to buy something, why don't you go through major exchanges? We have Coinbase, which you as a Kenyan can actually set up an account with.
Yeah.
You have Coinbase, you have Binance. Come on, you have eToro. I don't know why. And probably soon you're going to have one of these cool apps. I hope Hisa really gets to give guys coins. Yeah, not definitely.
Putting pressure on the developers. Put pressure on the developers.
Yeah, definitely the regulator the regulator will have challenges with this. Yeah, but come on. If we have a cool app like Robinhood, for instance, or Hisa, you know, giving guys access to crypto, why is it so hard to use major channels to invest in? I think that's a huge concern for guys to actually look into. I mean, if you're investing in crypto, just go through the usual channels. Yes, there might be a few charges here and there, but nothing is for free, guys.
There's always that risk of opportunity. That's what people look at and they think, okay.
Guys were looking at, and I know the challenge
million % growth.
Yeah, most of the time, whenever guys are investing in these cryptos, the initial stages, then people would always want to get access to that coin earlier before it's listed on the major exchanges.
And then
because when it comes
blows
to the major exchanges, an example is you've seen the pressure that Robinhood has had on Shiba. Remember, Ali?
Right.
And everybody was saying Coinbase is actually having Shiba, and we've seen Coinbase, we've seen all the other major exchanges, Binance having Shiba trading, but then we've seen Robinhood not bring that into play, you know. So the major concern that guys have had over time has been, you know what, if I can be able to access Shiba, you're seeing guys out there saying Shiba has rallied 90
Shiba.
Million. Yeah, like 90 million percent.
The,
you know,
the Doji coin competitor.
Yeah, like, you know, guys are saying it's gone up about 90 million percent and I'm looking on buying it because when it comes to Coinbase, it's probably going to go high, you know?
Right.
And so guys are looking for opportunities to access these coins. And that's the hope that guys have. If I put my $1, would it rally 1,000,000%, you know? So those are technically a few concerns that guys have had. And those are things that guys are constantly looking at. But I'm always like, there's always an opportunity. You miss this bus, you're definitely going to catch
the next one.
So that would be my take for investors. If you're looking at investing, I think one of the basis of all these investments, whether it's crypto, whether it's stocks, whether it's bonds, whether it's derivatives, whether it's any level of commodity, you know, the one thing that you definitely need to look at is do your research before you invest. And that's why at any point, let me give you guys a very good example. If you ask somebody that you want to have a ride on the bicycle, they would definitely ask you what kind of experience do you have. They would definitely ask you, have you ever had an experience with a bike, you know? Did you ever had an opportunity to ride a bike before, or should I hold this for you? Should I teach you? It's the same way, guys. Ask these companies and look on various stuff like reviews. Google is free. As long as you have internet from Safaricom. Yeah.
Wow. Just take that first step of first researching before you actually open.
Yeah, guys. As usual, on ISA, what we say is, first things first, when investing in any security, you need to understand that investment comes with a risk. And then this is assuming that you've done your due diligence when it comes to the legitness and the correct legal standing of that security. Investing is a risk. Only invest money that you're willing to lose.
Oh, yeah. And these guys for Squid Game were willing to lose. Though, I have seen very sad stories. There's a guy in Hong Kong who actually lost all his money, his savings, everything else, just because he was looking at it.
He took a risk. He was hoping to be a
billionaire. Yeah, he took a risk with money he couldn't afford to lose.
That's it. Always make sure you understand the security you're investing in. Only invest money you're willing to lose and do your due diligence. We're going to put a cap on the podcast right now. If you're a market enthusiast, this week we've seen a lot of companies release their results at a global scale.
Have you talked about Safaricom Ethiopia?
We're not touching that because we're going to do it on Markets Monday.
Guys, can you imagine what's happening to Safaricom shares? I think Safaricom has been on the decline over the past... From Wednesday when we had issues in Ethiopia. In case you're wondering about how the Safaricom share price has actually taken a hit and how it's performing, you might want to catch up with me on Markets Monday at 9:45 a.m.
That's what he said. That's it. We're closing. We are curious right now. If you want to learn more on what happened on markets, join the one and only Felix Ochieng. Oyala.
Felix Ochieng.
The amazing host of Markets Monday. You'll get to learn more on what happened with Safaricom Ethiopia and some of the other results that happened that came out in global markets. And I'm sure, not this week, the other one, Safaricom will have released its results, same as Equity.
Equity Group is releasing the results on Monday at 7:45 a.m.
So you'll talk about it on Markets Monday still.
Yes, and we have Safaricom releasing the results on Wednesday at a similar time.
Right. So yeah, join Felix for more. I was your host, Ali Mwakaneno, and I was joined by
Your guest, Hamisi Rollins, co-founder Culture Capture.
And Felix Ochieng, as usual, your noisy guy on We're Curious and Markets Monday.
It's been a pleasure.
That's it. Goodbye.